With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Hey everybody, Peter Zion here, coming to you from the Carolina coast. As you know, we've recently started posting all of our work onto Patreon, where you can get access to all kinds of fun things like the community forum, where I'm spending most of my time these days, as well as all of the videos, and you'll have the chance to query me in a public setting once a quarter. But that's not why you're here. You're here because you're about to watch a free video. That's right, because even if you're not signing up for Patreon, all of the videos will still be posting to YouTube and all the normal sites, just with a 1 week delay. So give you an idea of what you have in store for this week based on what we did last week. You may remember that Iran attacked Israel with a couple hundred ballistic missiles. That's covered in there, along with the missile defense technologies that largely defeated it. What's likely to happen with oil markets when and if Israel strikes back. We had a port strike that is one of the most economically consequential things to happen in the United States in quite some time. And of course, we talked about other little things like Chinese nuclear policy and naval policy. Anyway, all of that and more will be coming to you this week. And if you decide that you just can't live with this 1 week delay, then I suggest you head on over to Patreon. And for a low, low fee, you can sign up to get the videos as they come out. That's all from me. I'll see you wherever I see you. Hey everybody, Peter Zion here, coming to you from Salt Creek Beach, just outside of L.A. in California. Today we're going to talk about nuclear policy, technology, China, and the U.S. elections. That's going to get me in trouble pretty much everywhere. Okay, so the new news that leaked out over the course of the last few days is that back sometime in the spring, the Chinese's new nuclear attack submarine sank at dock near Wuhan. It was a first-in-class ship, and first-in-class ships are notoriously buggy, but they usually don't just, you know, sink. And they had to fish it out of the river with a bunch of floating cranes. Now, I don't want to suggest that submarine engineering is easy, especially nuclear submarine engineering, but I gotta say that, like, the definition of a submarine is something that doesn't sink unless there's a torpedo in it. So getting the basics wrong on this sort of thing is beyond embarrassing. And if you kind of put this in context, imagine if in San Diego, a nuclear-powered vessel sank in harbor and the government tried to hide it from everyone. That's basically what's gone down here. So very, very sloppy engineering work, a sloppier propaganda campaign. But from a strategic point of view, I think it's really important to understand what the Chinese do and do not have when it comes to nuclear deterrence. They have silos, ICBMs that would launch mostly from Western China. They don't have a functional sub-arc, and they certainly don't have a bomber arc. So we're talking about one type of deterrent, not the three that the United States has for redundancy. Now, whether that's good, bad, or indifferent depends upon what you care about, but the whole reason that the United States maintains the triad is so that no matter what flavor attack hits the United States, it always has at least one, probably two, backup plans, and that sort of deterrence means it countries aren't going to nuke the United States even before you consider things like missile defense. China is nowhere close to that, not in number of warheads and certainly not in delivery methods. And this brings us to the general technological issues that the Chinese are trying to crack here. China has a lot of ambitions and they say they're planning on going into this, that, or the other thing. But desire is not the same as performance. So consider, for example, semiconductors. The Chinese have something that's called deep ultrawide technology that they're pretty decent at, and chips that are in the kind of the 80 to 90 nanometer and dumber, they can make themselves. But when the chips get more advanced than that, it's like what you put into most automotives, for example, they need not just foreign equipment, but foreign staff and foreign software.
And most of the chips that are being made today, things that are, as a rule, 20 nanometers and smaller, don't use that technology unless you want to be like wildly inefficient with it. Instead, they use something called extreme ultraviolet lithography, which is a technology that is basically completely controlled by the Dutch company ASML. And even if the Chinese were able to get their hands on some of those more advanced machines, it's not like they could operate them. There's staffing issues, there's experience issues, there's software issues, and the Dutch have built their machines with remote kill switches, so they have to be involved in the process. I don't mean to say this to insult the Chinese, I mean to say this to insult everyone. No country controls enough of the semiconductor supply chain for anything that's mid or high tier chips to do it themselves. You're talking about a constellation of thousands of companies, dozens of countries, and it really does take a village. And so the Chinese desire to do all of this in-house, it's just not going to happen, or at least not without a significant shift in how this technology works, and it's more likely to get more complicated in the future rather than less. Which means we pretty much know what's going to happen with U.S. politics and trade relations, because the parameters of what can and cannot be done with the technology is already known. So regardless of who wins the American presidential election, and we all have our own ideas on that, we're looking at a situation where on the Trump side, we know that tariffs are the plan, but the Biden administration has never repealed any of the tariffs that Trump put into place. And on the Harris side of the equation, we know that technological controls are the preferred tool, but I can't imagine a President Trump ever repealing those. So we're looking at a tightening technological noose as the United States does something that China just can't, call on other countries. Because even at the depths of the Trump administration, when the relations with the allies were at the lowest, you still had countries that needed the United States for this, that, or the other thing. And so the United States was able to do technological sanctions on things like lithography that basically stalled the entire Chinese technological push. They were able to use older technology like that DUV I mentioned in order to brute force through some relatively low quality chips that hit a couple technological markers but were huge energy hogs and took up a lot more space and generated a lot more heat. Not the kind of thing that you're going to use to reset the technological tables. And especially when you start talking about some of the newer things that ASML is trying to work on, something called a high numerical aperture, getting down to a 1 nanometer chip, the Chinese don't even have a finger in that world. Neither does the United States. It takes everyone. You play that across the economy, and there's only so much the Chinese can do. They just don't do the high-end stuff at all. They do the low-end, they do the assembly, and that's a multi-trillion dollar operation. That is not something to be scoffed at, but that's not the same thing as parity, nuclear or otherwise.